today as we come to the table.
And so again, is it possible to live holy in a society like that? Ask Daniel, teenager living in one of the most corrupt societies in world history. And yet what happened to Daniel? He was a godly man who lived righteously for the Lord. And by the way, Daniel was even a godly politician, which again, probably Lot was in some form of politics. You know, Abraham, his uncle, had saved the city. That probably gave him a good campaign stoop to start on, didn't it? The man whose uncle saved Sodom. Welcome, Lot, our next city council, whatever. Brethren, what I plan to do, you know, is not make a stand for God and get along with everybody and watch our society slowly fall into judgment. And yet what we've got to do as believers is say, no, we can't do that. We've got to speak up.
Really difficult for us to live a godly life in this world. We're frequently distracted, whether at work or in our relationships, which throws us off track. Even the enemy brings trials and difficulties into our lives, and we frequently seek assistance from others rather than God. Even in our society, we fail to glorify God or serve as role models for others. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark explains how you can be a role model for Jesus by living a life that God desires. There are people around us who are not aware of Jesus and are on their way to God's judgment. How can you lead those around you to know Jesus and be saved? Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 19. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
This is the whole situation here where, you know, he's saying, hey, I've got these two daughters and how could it go this far? The reason being is when we become a society that accepts sexual relationships outside of marriage as normal, when that happened, we took a step down as a society. That was our falling right there. We took a step down. It's okay. You move in together. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. And now in Hollywood, it's glorified. You actually have babies before you get married, and sometimes you don't. And then what happened? Now where do you go from there? You see how this works? If this is your starting point, the flesh is always going to pull it down lower. Where do you go from there? Where else are you going to go? Now we move down into saying, well, you know what? Homosexuality is okay. It's not that bad. If they want to do it, let them do it. Let you know it's not what I would do, but that's okay for them. Wrong. God's word says that it's wrong for a society. And a society is not to allow that to take place. Now you move down to another level. And you say, how in the world can we get to a place to where it's accepted to live together without being married and nobody thinks it's a shame? And now we're to the point, I remember when I was young, that was a shameful thing. Now we're to the point of saying, you know what? Now people are having, you know, men with men, women with women, and we're saying, you know what? That's just how it is. Let's make a show out of it. Hey, we'll make fun of it. Let's make light of it. You know, we'll put them on there. Pick the person who's straight. And if you pick them right, you know, then you win the points or whatever. I mean, it's become a joke in America. It's become something that's seen as normal. Okay, now, if we drop to the next level where perversion is seen as normal, guys, listen, where do we go from here? How do we shock the flesh further? How do we bring ourselves to a lower place? This is the downward slide of mankind without God. And it's exactly where Sodom and Gomorrah ended up, and it's where our society is going. And why? Because we're pushing God out of our institutions. We're saying, God, we don't want you anymore. And a society that pushes God out will always be a society that falls deeper and deeper until either it repents or God has no choice but to bring judgment. You know, some people say, how could God judge Sodom and Gomorrah? How could a God of love? How could a God of love? Let me ask you something. If a mad dog gets in your neighborhood and starts attacking the children in the neighborhood and runs to your front door, what are you going to do? Come in, little puppy. You're going to pull out a gun and you're going to destroy that mad dog because you realize if you don't destroy that mad dog, see, there's no turning back at that point. It's too diseased. It's made up its mind. There's nothing it can do but only destroy and bring destruction. The best thing, the most loving thing you can do as a parent is put it out of its misery and protect others from being infected by its bite and being destroyed. And that is the reason God had to judge Sodom and Gomorrah. And that is why God has to judge societies. There comes a point where a society begins to foam at the mouth. And Sodom and Gomorrah was foaming at the mouth. God had no choice but to deal with them. And the sad thing is Lot sat there and watched it happen all around him and kind of started blending in and saying, you know what? It's not my thing, but it's okay for them. It's not my lot in life, so to speak. But you know what? If they want to do it, fine. Guys, if we ever get to that place, we are compromising. We have to say, you know what? That's wrong. And if we continue to go this path, we are going to be destroyed as a society, because that's the end of all societies that go that route. And so we have to be the ones, if we're not holding up a standard in these days when it's getting worse and worse, what's going to happen? Who's going to hold back the flow and the tide of wickedness as it flows in, as it comes in stronger and stronger? And so again, Lot here is saying, you know what? Hey, I've got these two daughters. Amazing. How could a man reach that? Well, again, compromise leads us to places we never dreamed we could be. I have two daughters who have not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Unbelievable. Only do nothing to these men, since there is the reason that they have come under the shadow of my roof. You know, it's amazing. He realized that it was so unnatural to be with men that at least with women, the crime would at least be a natural crime, not an unnatural crime. Again, I'm not taking up for Lot. This is atrocious that a man would throw his daughters to the wolves. But you know, I have to say this. You know, Lot was willing to sacrifice his children to the world in order to appease it, in order to get along with it. The question is, guys, have we sacrificed our children to the world in order to get along with it, in order to appease it? Maybe it's been in order to appease our children. Oh, but mom and dad, every kid's going to see that movie. Mom and dad, everybody's doing it. Everybody's getting to. Why can't I? Are you just going to throw your children to the angry mob and say they raped their mind, rape their morals? Go ahead. Have your way with them. But we're not going to do that. We're going to stay in the house and protect ourselves. But you guys go ahead. Guys, listen, we need to really understand what we're doing with our children and realize we are their last line of protection. I know our children will grumble and they'll complain and they'll say, you know, all the other kids get to do it and all the other kids get to see it and all that. You know what? Parents, we can never base the standard for our children on what all the other kids are doing. Our standard must be based on the Word of God. And yes, it is okay for you to pick their friends. Yes, it is. Never let a child say, you can't pick my friends. Look, you may have a swatch to pick from, but the ones that I'm going to let you be with are going to be righteous. They're going to be righteous. You need to know who they're talking to on the internet. You need to know who they're spending their time with. You need to know who's on that phone call. You need to know that they don't have their own room. You paid for it. I'm preaching this morning. I almost said amen. Preach it, Brother Mark. We're having fun with it, but this is a serious issue, guys. We have to talk frankly about this, okay? We have to be very straightforward and talk about this in a very honest and open-hearted way, because I think that there's this pressure from our society to not to try to, you know, guard our children, to not to try to raise them as parents. There's this pressure. And God has given them to you to raise them. And God has said, here's my standard, the Word of God, and we've got to stick with God's standards. And so, you know, I've seen Christian parents and even Christian schools that decide they're going to lower their standards and let children read books that have foul language and inappropriate situations because it's a classic. Because I've known of at least a couple of Christian schools, they say, we're going to, you know, even send a letter to the parents, we're going to go ahead and let your children read, you know, books that have foul language and inappropriate things. But here's why we're doing it, Christian mom and dad. We're doing it because it's a classic, and they, you know, they're going to need to know the classics anyway if they ever go to college. You know what? Then wait till they get to college to have to read that classic for their class, because then they'll be mature enough to differentiate the difference and not have that stuff polluting their minds. You see, adults can handle things that children can't handle. And our job is to protect our children, not just to let them see whatever they want or read whatever they want or do whatever they want. You know, it's interesting. It says in Romans 16, 19, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple in evil. Note that. Modern translation, I want you to be real studied up on the things that are good and righteous, but I want you to be ignorant and know very little about things that are evil. There are some people that say, well, you got to really study all the evil to know how to deal with it. Wrong. Now, I don't mean to be flippant, but you don't have to step in a cow pile to know it stinks. Okay, you can tell that from farther observation. And yet there are people today that think, you know what? I'm going to do this thing because I knew a guy that said, I'm going to go and watch all these movies that, you know, all these that have all this sex and stuff in them because I need to warn the body of Christ. And he said, I've got to go and let them know what movies not to see. And I said, you know what? That's crazy. I said, all you're doing is planting all this trash in your mind. It's going to have an effect on you. I said, no, I think this is what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, God's called me to this. And he would write these big, long papers, his report on these movies and about what you Christians shouldn't be seeing out there. And he would go see them and tell you, you shouldn't be seeing. He fell in sexual sin, by the way. And I knew it was just a matter of time. Why? Because the Bible says God is not mocked. What you sow, you will reap. He sowed the trash in his mind and trash came out in his life. We not only need to be guarding ourselves, we need to be guarding our children. And guys, listen, we're not talking legalism here. Every time you try to talk about living for God, people say, oh, legalistic. No, listen, legalism is trying to work your way to God and do works to please God and some of this. Holiness is simply living for God, being set apart for the Lord, being righteous. And so again, that's exactly what's happening here, is he didn't do that, and now he's got the consequences of it. And what a contrast between the compromising Christian and the committed Christian. Abraham and Lot were. What a contrast. Again, one that the Lord could fellowship with, one that the Lord couldn't fellowship with. One that sacrificed his children on the altar of the world, and one that sacrificed his child on the altar of God on Mount Moriah. And that is, Lord, I'm giving this child over to you, and I will sacrifice this child for your glory, but that's the only sacrifice I will make in this child's life. Everything else, God, is going to be for you, and I'm not going to sacrifice to the world, no matter how much pressure we have. You know, our question is, you know, have we laid our children? Which altar have we laid our children on, the altar of the world or the altar of God? And don't be afraid to make that stand. Again, I know that it's true to bring someone into your home in this culture, but who could stoop so low to say, I'm going to give my daughters instead? It's amazing the depths that compromise can bring. And it's interesting that Lot's spiritual condition, again, was very appropriate to the place he was living. Lot had now reached the lowest place a Christian, I believe, could be in. And that is turning over his own family to be abused by the world. And yet it's interesting that Lot lived in the lowest place on earth. You know, the Dead Sea is 1,286 feet below sea level. It is literally the lowest place on earth. And now Lot finds his life exactly like the place he lives. And that's what we need to be warned about, because where we live, so to speak, that is what normally is coming through our mind and our eyes and our life, that's where we're going to end up being. As low as the world is that we let in, that'll be the lowest place. As high as the mountaintop we're on, that's going to be as high as we'll go. And so again, is it possible to live holy in a society like that? Ask Daniel, teenager living in one of the most corrupt societies in world history. And yet what happened to Daniel? He was a godly man who lived righteously for the Lord. And by the way, Daniel was even a godly politician, which again, probably Lot was in some form of politics. You know, Abraham, his uncle, had saved the city. That probably gave him a good campaign stoop to start on, didn't it? The man whose uncle saved Sodom, welcome Lot, our next city council, whatever. Brethren, what I plan to do, you know, is not make a stand for God and get along with everybody and watch our society slowly fall into judgment. And yet what we've got to do as believers is say, no, we can't do that. We've got to speak up. And so again, Lot here, you know, going along, giving his children, saying, look, take my daughters. Unbelievable. Verse 9, and they said, stand back. Look at these guys. They didn't want his daughters. They were so perverted. It's like, no, only men will do. Stand back, they said. Then this one came in a sojourn, and he keeps acting as a judge. Note that. Now we will deal with you worse than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot, and they came near to breaking down the door. Again, note this. Those who have chosen to live in open sin, when they're confronted, they're not going to receive it well. You know, we can't expect that we bring a message of righteousness from the Word of God, and everybody's going to say, oh, isn't that a nice guy? I'm glad he's saying that. Most people are going to scream things like intolerance, bigotry. Guys, listen. We should be tolerant of things that are free in Christ to do. We should be tolerant in the sense of what the Bible says is not sin. But when it comes to sin, the Christian should never be tolerant. There's this pressure again in the Christian life to say, you need to be tolerant. Tolerant of what? Tolerant of sin? Tell Jesus that on the cross. Lord, you need to be tolerant of sin. No, you don't understand. I died for this. That's why I died. And the very things that we're being pressured to be tolerant of is the reason Jesus went to the cross. How can we be tolerant of the things that caused our Lord to die in our place? Now again, lack of tolerance for sin does not mean a lack of love for the sinner. Yes, we love them. But we can't say that this is okay. We can't say that this is something we just go along with and don't worry about it. No, this is not okay. Those who have made their choice to live in open sin, they don't want to hear this confrontation. Why? In John 3:19, it says, because they love darkness rather than light. And notice it says here, they were saying, you're acting like a judge. Don't judge me, man. How could you judge me? Hey, you live your life, I'll live mine. Don't judge me. And yet we have to remember, guys, this isn't our standard. We didn't come up with this. This is the Lord's command. The Lord said, not only separate yourself from the deeds of darkness, he said, expose them. That's our job as believers. And again, you know, people might say that we're judging and this and that, and I do believe that there's a wrong form of judging. Whenever we're judging unrighteous judgment, it's when we're judging people based on our own opinions, our own viewpoints. That's wrong. Don't judge somebody by what they wear to church or don't wear to church. Don't judge somebody by, you know, the beat to their music or whatever, as long as it's godly or what. We can't. The Bible doesn't give us those things. Don't judge each other according to that. God is able to judge his own servant. But the Bible does say that when it comes to things that are unrighteous, we are to make our voice known. And we need to remember it's God's voice, not our voice. God is the one that said it. We didn't. And so They're accusing him of judging and all this stuff. And I'm certain he heard all the other language that comes with that, being a bigot or intolerant and all this. And yet this is what we're commanded to speak up about. But notice also here, when he refused these two visitors, they decided to rape him. They said, all right, you know, you're not going to give us them. Then stand back. We're going to get you. And they came near to breaking down the doors. They were grabbing onto him. And note this, when someone is totally immersed in any area of sin, it doesn't matter who they hurt or how desperately they have to get to it. They'll do anything to get it. And we see that here with these particular individuals. They'd become so perverted, they didn't even want women or what was natural, and they would do anything they could to get that, even if it was by force. It's interesting, in John 8:34, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And they truly had been enslaved now by their sin. And I also find it interesting that about this particular sin is that it's a very aggressive sin. Whenever it comes to sins of the flesh, of course, I guess they're all sins of the flesh, many of them of the mind, but they lead to the flesh, aggressive. And now we see these guys being very aggressive, not only to sin and flame, but it brings us to the point of loss of control. And you'll find that those trapped in sin are extremely aggressive about their sin. You know, it's interesting. We think, wow, could anything like this ever happen in America? Believe it or not, there was a few years back, there was a church in San Francisco where truly a mob of homosexuals surrounded it. And they locked the doors to the church so they couldn't get in. They were in there having a service, and they were beating. I heard the recording, by the way, from the inside. They have a recording of it. They were beating on the outside of the doors of the church saying, give us your children. And we think, oh, this could never happen in America. We're so far from that. Guys, don't be deceived. We're already going down that path. And so, again, this is the kind of thing that, you know, we as those that are walking with the Lord need to be vocal about. And that is that we need to live righteous lives. Again, the idea is not to pick any one particular sin, but at the same time, to simply talk about the righteousness in Jesus Christ and the need for confession and repentance of sin, or God ends up judging a society. And again, I take note of this as well, because this may help you if you're ever in a situation where you're trying to share with particular groups. If you ever find yourself in a mob like this that has already made up their mind they're going to live in open sin, understand this, you cannot reason with them. If you can't play politics, you can't be reasonable and gentle. Oh, brethren, let's talk now. I know you have a good concern and you have a good concern. Let's see if we can find somewhere in the middle to meet. Notice he wasn't able to do that. They said, shut up. We're going to attack you. We don't want to hear it. It had already reached the point where, again, there's this mad dog status. They're foaming at the mouth, and there was nothing else to be done other than the judgment of God. And so notice here again in verse 10, it says, but the men reached out their hands and they pulled Lot into the house with them and they shut the door. And they struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they became weary trying to find the door. Now notice this, they became weary trying to find the door. You would think it would say they were suddenly blinded, so they quit trying to find the door as they were struck with fear and the realization of the seriousness of their sin. Doesn't say that, does it? Again, when you reach a certain point, you're completely blinded by it. And now what do? They're wearying themselves. Guys, how often did we work so hard? Those of you that were in the world before you came to Christ, unless you came as a child, how much did you weary yourself to sin? Do you remember the days? You would just give everything your body had to give in order to sin so much you'd be exhausted and waiting until the next day where you could weary yourself to sin again. That's exactly where they are. But the thing we have to realize is there is no door that you can go through that will satisfy that lust. It only creates more and more and makes it worse and worse. And you end up blind and empty and lost. And that's exactly where these guys were. You know, it reminds me of Balaam. You know, he was so blinded by his sin. You know, sin blinds, doesn't it? He was so blinded by his sin that a donkey talks to him, and rather than being shocked and screaming, he starts conversing. Here's why I'm mad at you, donkey. Well, yeah, what's wrong? I've always been faithful. Let me tell you something. He should have been going, this donkey just talked to me, right? What about Samson? Samson with Delilah. Delilah saying, you know what? I want to destroy you, so tell me how. Okay, try this. Samson, what's wrong? And then when it didn't work, you lied to me. You're not letting me destroy you. How can I destroy you and take your strength? Well, try this. How blind do we become? But again, there's this foolishness. There's this blindness that comes with sin. And that's exactly where these people were. They were blind in their sin. Notice they pull them back in and strike them with blindness. And verse 12 says, then the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here, son-in-law, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in this city, take them out of this place, for we will destroy this place. Because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And again, there comes a point where there is no turning back, only judgment. So Lot went out, and notice this. Here's the saddest thing today of this compromise in this first portion that we're going to see as we finish today. Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law who had married his daughters, and he said, get up. I can imagine him knocking on the door, you know, get up. Get out of this place. The Lord's going to destroy the city. But to his sons-in-law, he only seemed to be joking. How sad. And see, here is the plight of the compromising Christian when we have to give a serious message to a world that's facing judgment. And that is, you know what? If we've been living like the rest of the world, they're not going to listen to us. Oh, who are you to judge me? Oh, Mark, Mr. Righteous. I know the movies you go to. I know the books you read. I know the things you're involved in. Oh, you're going to tell me about the judgment of God? Hey, this is a good one. Hey, guys, Pastor Mark wants to tell us about the judgment of God. Didn't I see you last week at that place? You see, guys, if we have a compromising life, if we're living in compromise, there's no authority to the voice we give. Although it may be the word of God, they are looking to see who the message is coming through. And if the message is coming through one that they can't tell is any different from the rest of the world and even themselves, they're not going to listen to a word you say. How sad. Literally, the word means it was like a joke to them. It's like a joke. Oh, yeah, Lot, Mr. City Council. He's the one that goes along with all this. Now he's coming to tell us, oh, yeah, God's going to judge. Oh, that's great. Is this some new campaign strategy? Are you up for election next time and found out by the polls that the Christian community is going to, well, not in that town, but that the Christian community is going to help you in getting an office? At least pretend you're going to be Christian, and then when you get there, you can live how you want. And so they're taking him as a joke. It's like, what's this? This is a joke, Lot. You think we take this seriously? Guys, listen, where does this leave us today? Here's the bottom line. If we as Christians don't live any different than those in the world around us, when it comes to time to share the truth, they're not going to take us seriously. Do your family and friends see you living for Christ? Do they see you living for the Lord? Then how are you going to be able to explain to them what's going on in the world around them and talk to them about what's going to be happening in the last days and about the coming judgment of God and the need for confession and repentance? They're not going to take you seriously. Here's what I'm saying. Listen, if you're in that place, you can fix it. Just need to confess and repent today. And as we leave today, I want to do that. Just let's confess to the Lord. God, forgive me if I've been compromising. I want to ask yourself, am I a compromising Christian? Have I been compromising? And if I am compromising, God, convict me right now. Show me where I'm compromising, and I will confess it and repent from it. And let God do that in your heart, not only for your sake, so that you're walking in righteousness before God, but so that you can be used as a witness to the world around you. Let's ask God to do it. Let's pray. Lord, that is our prayer and that is our desire, God, is that we would not be compromising Christians like Lot. Lord, look at the problems that Lot had. Look at the difficulties that Lot ran into. Lord, guard us from that. I just pray, God, that you would convict us of our sin. Let us not look at everyone else. Let us look at ourselves and our own sin, our own compromise. And if we are compromising, Lord, let us put down our spiritual foot and say, enough. Lord, I confess it before you and I ask you to forgive me. And I want to live a life of righteousness before your throne from this day forward. Lord, we know we can't change our past, but Lord, we know that we can now let you affect our future. And so I pray that you would give us boldness in our own lives, give us boldness with our children and in our families. And God, help us to be guarded against a world that is so quickly going corrupt and is so quickly going down the tubes. And not only to be guarded from it, but Lord, to be able to have enough of a position in walking with you to be able to yank them out of the fire where we will be taken seriously and not as a joke. Lord, I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for again, your word, and Lord, help us, Lord, if we came in as a compromising Christian, not to leave here the same way we came in. And we know that it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, do it in our lives. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis. And there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.